So, Eric, do you know how to spell the word legacy?
Well, it's not spelled success.
Not spelled, what? Do you have like an overarching reason for saying that?
Yeah, there's this guy named Archie.
Archie?
Manning.
Yes, and...
He chased a little bit of money.
Okay, and this is the legacy Archie Manning. Yes. We're not talking about the Heisman Trophy. Did the
both
original Archie win Heisman?
I believe he did.
I mean, he was obviously a college superstar.
He won a Super Bowl.
And yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, but this is the Arch, goes by Arch now, right?
Yeah.
In the great state of Texas.
Yes.
Not sure.
Not so great right now.
Not so great right now. That is definitely sure. Hey. This just proves that on Tally Benchwarmers. Hey, welcome everybody. Tally Benchwarmers. We don't just focus solely on the FSU Seminoles or what just happened in Florida. We have opinions about college sports all over the country. And, you know, in Texas is a whole of the country. You've heard that before, right?
It is. Yeah. It's its own country.
It's its own. At times it feels like it wants to.
Yeah, we dabble in a lot of little
yeah,
things.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So, yeah, we had an interesting weekend of college football to talk about.
Yes, indeed. There were some good games.
There were some good games. Penn State. What happened to Penn State?
They lost.
Oh, my God.
They got ran out of the stadium,
and I watched Game Day on the ESPN, as Bobby Boucher would say,
the ESPN.
Yeah, watched it, and everybody. I mean, the Penn State was like it was like a no brainer.
Yes,
UCLA, huh? What?
Winless
UCLA.
Penn State and was a 24-point favorite.
Were they? Yeah, man, they played at the Rose Bowl, right?
Yes.
Rose Bowl with about, 12,000 people.
It wasn't full.
And 100,000 person stadium. But wow, Penn State, James Franklin. I remember the talk of James Franklin maybe being on the, possibly trying to bring James Franklin here before Norvell was hired?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on the short list.
He was on the short list. But wow, Penn State dropped out of the top 25, not just out of
the first time in, I want to say, 12 years.
It's been a long time. Penn State's always kind of been around, never won the big one or anything.
No, close enough.
Close, yeah. So wow, that was one of a few.
But the crazy
upsets.
Thing about that, Penn State still has a chance to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Very slim.
Very slim.
You got a chance.
But I should have looked and seen who else they have to play.
They got to beat Ohio State.
They play Ohio State, for
sure.
They got
to beat Indiana.
Okay. Yeah, so that's too big. That's too
and
big.
And Illinois.
And Illinois. Yeah, see, wow, including Illinois and Indiana in the conversations about
powerhouse college football.
Yeah, it sounds just kind of crazy.
NIL.
It has become really there is parity. I kind of popped my pee there. It's parity on the college football field because
I like
of,
it.
Yeah, it is. It certainly has the feeling of. On any given Sunday, right? Just the way it is in the NFL, you never
UCLA.
Know. Look at UCLA. Yeah.
You pay enough money, you'll win at least one game.
At least one. Hey, and then our favorite team outside of Tallahassee in Gainesville.
Oh, yes. The Swamp Lizards.
The Swamp Lizards.
Yes.
They did a number on the University of Texas Longhorns
and
our friend, the young Archie Manning.
Yes. This is
what
one of those
say?
Games that it seems like for the past 3 years at least, Billy Napier has one of those games that saves his career because he's on the hot seat and then right when you think that he's about to be ousted, they win that game. that saves his career. And it's always one of those marquee wins over a team that they would pick to lose.
Yeah. Well, but Texas was only like, what, maybe a 7 or 4 point favorite, yeah. Right? Which kind of probably surprised a lot of folks also.
Yeah.
Also lets you know, man, those guys in Vegas, sometimes they can be pretty daggone smart. Of course, unless you look at the game we were just talking about, yeah. 24 point favorite for Penn State.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, Arch Manning had the expectations for Arch Manning were just really unattainable, probably.
Yes.
At least in the circumstance that he is playing in right now at UT.
Right.
By the way, I call the University of Texas UT because really it was the original UT. I know that the Tennessee Volunteers like to call that school UT also. But
You know, it is what it is.
I grew up in the Darryl Royal world of University of Texas UT Longhorns, so that's why I call it UT.
I can understand that.
Okay, I just kind of wanted to put things in perspective for listeners.
Yeah, I think Arch picked the wrong SEC team to go to.
Aha. Aha. So tell me more, please.
Yeah, you know, if he wanted to carve out his own legacy, once again, we're back to that legacy word, I think he would have been a better fit at Mississippi because, you know, he's coming out of high school, he kind of set himself up for either he was going to have massive success or he was going to flounder like he's doing now. He came out, committed to Texas, decommitted and went to Ohio State, decommitted from Ohio State, went back to Texas, and it was all chasing that NIL money. And he was going to get paid regardless, so I think if he would have just, you know, picked any school he would have went to, they were going to pay him. So,
well, if you look at the top 25 rankings right now this week, Ole Miss is sitting at number 4.
Yes.
And whether he was starting for Ole Miss right now or he's maybe still backing somebody up, he would be on a team that is on the upward part of the slide rather than – like, how do you slide up? I don't know.
But, no, you climb.
Oh, climb. No. How could I forget that word?
Absolutely. We did a lot last year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did. And we've apparently forgotten how to kind of climb this year over the last couple of weeks. But we'll talk about that later. So Arch apparently chased the money, and you know, I guess the checks cash well in Texas, but yeah, it's been
as Jimbo.
That's right. Yeah,
he's still getting paid,
win or lose, work or not.
Yes,
sometimes
those checks in Texas always cash.
I saw Jimbo on the field at Saturday night's game, and he just had the biggest smile on his face.
He has a warm spot for Florida State.
He does, and you know, I know that he was saying good things about Florida State leading up to the game and everything. I'm not sure if I've heard any comments from him post game.
No, but I haven't heard anything post game either.
But so anybody else? I tell you what, we ought to talk about the fact that I think 2 weeks ago Miami, the Hurricanes were ranked second.
Yes,
they had a bye. And Oregon leapfrogged them into the number 2 spot. Flipped the script this week. Oregon was had a bye. Yep. Miami won, so they jumped to number 2.
Yes.
Ohio State's been sitting there at number 1 for a little bit.
We're clinging on.
Yeah,
with our fingertips. Yeah, white tips.
Yeah, we're like if there is a rope and there's
at the bitter end.
We're at the end. There's just a few little strands of rope that we're just kind of hanging on at number 25.
Yes.
But, you know, I tell you, I'm just looking at the top 10 right now. A&M is number 5. Oklahoma is number 6. Then our Indiana, the Hoosiers.
That's
coming in at 7. Alabama, the team that we beat in week 1.
Yes.
I think they were 8th.
Yes, they were 8th when we beat them.
When we beat them the first game of the season, they're back at number 8.
Yeah.
Then you got Texas Tech. Good for the Red Raiders, man. I tell you, speaking of game day, they were talking high praise for the Red Raiders on Saturday morning.
There was only 2 teams prior to this game this week that had not trailed in a game. Miami was 1.
Texas Tech was another one?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
But we fixed that.
We did. We at least scored on that first drive. here in Doak on Saturday night. We're kind of teasing this FSU talk here.
Just a little bit.
Georgia Tech in at number 13 in the latest poll. Georgia Tech still continuing to climb, as they say.
They are climbing.
You know who's hanging on after two losses, though? Notre Dame is still at 16, Illinois at 17.
Yes.
And then the team that beat us last week, Virginia, coming in at 19. They had two overtime wins 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
Beat Louisville.
Yep.
30-27.
They were actually winning that game pretty handily, and then Louisville came back.
You know, and you kind of wondered when there was hope that we were going to beat Miami. It's just kind of step back. Yeah. Everybody was kind of hoping, well, maybe if Virginia wins, that looked good for our resume, you know, that we got buttoned. But now we just want Virginia to lose.
Yeah, we need them to lose twice.
Yeah, we do. We need them to lose twice. And their upcoming schedule doesn't look too daunting. It's not a gauntlet of talent that they appear to be.
If
up
there's
against.
Anything that gives us hope, it's the UCLA victory over Penn State.
There you go. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that can give everybody hope. But they do. Virginia faces Duke. Duke is still undefeated in the ACC.
Yes.
We might want to worry about Duke, too.
You got to worry about Duke. Yeah. And Georgia Tech.
And Georgia Tech, absolutely.
There's still too many teams that we need at least two losses for.
We do. And that means we got to win out anyway. And, we got Pitt coming up, so let's worry about that. In just a moment. So college football, a little parity going on.
It's good not to just have the haves and the have-nots.
Yes, but you still have some of those haves that are always going to be there, it seems like.
Those are those legacy teams.
And you know what? I think you can still consider, even though, and you don't spell legacy, S-U-C-C-E-S.
No.
Okay. See, I remembered that from when you said it before. I just had trouble spelling it. Oh, well, whatever. Hey. We heard a lot of that.
Yes, we did.
Saturday night.
Yes, we did.
Not necessarily in response to Florida State scoring until the fourth quarter.
Right.
But the crowd was loud. The crowd was, it was a good crowd.
And they stayed.
Yeah, yeah.
They stayed.
They stayed. Students started splitting out a little early as they typically do, but there was a big Miami contingency in that that crowd.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they always travel good to Tallahassee.
Yeah, well, and you know
that's those rivalry games.
It's those rivalry. Yeah. Did you see Michael Irvin on the sideline?
Yeah.
Did you see Michael Irvin get plowed over?
Yes, I did. He didn't even save the female reporter.
Yeah.
He ran.
He ran back. And then after the fact, I saw some footage of him, you know, kind of talking to her. But, yeah, it was that's a dangerous spot to be. You know, the photographers, they keep another, like, 3 yards off the sideline. But, man, they were standing right there.
Yeah.
Right there with the team, right there on the sideline. So.
And if you're not paying attention? Yeah, you'll get run over.
And I'm not saying Michael wasn't paying attention, but
oh, he was.
That
he knew
sure
how to
was.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, he just couldn't get out of the way quick enough. But I'm telling you, before the game, he first thing he did when he walked on the field pregame, he walked straight to the student section, looking up at him and just mocking the Noles. And the kids were having a pretty good time with that.
Well, that's good. That's what the rivalry game's all about.
Yeah, and you know I saw footage after the game of how the players, you know, the players that knew each other.
Oh yeah,
they you know, it's hey, it's another game.
They
it's
walked up to each other. Yep. They congratulated each other. It wasn't, you know, pregame.
It's a different story. Lots of time pregame.
Yeah,
pregame. I saw some of the big Hurricane linemen. They just walk in the perimeter of the field. Yeah. Which, you know, players do that all the time, but when they came around the corner of the FSU home end zone and we had players out there warming up, you could tell they were just itching for someone to kind of walk by them so they could kind of give them a little shoulder. But none of that even happened. I didn't see any of that happening either.
That was good.
But I wish there had been a little bit more shoulder shoving. at the line of scrimmage. Saturday night.
It was one of those things again. Wrapping up.
We seemed to have a little trouble tackling.
Yeah.
Our DBs got caught flat-footed a couple of three times.
Yes.
And I tell you, I think Carson Beck actually had packed a lunchbox, had it in his back pocket, and on a number of his dropbacks, he opened the lunchbox, took the sandwich out, took a bite, chewed a little bit, and then he threw the ball.
Yeah.
He had a lot of time.
He did.
He had plenty of time to throw, and you know, as a defender in that defensive backfield, it's only so long you can cover anybody.
That's so true.
Yeah,
that's so true. But if you look at the stats of the game,
stat sheet, it's a different
once
story.
Once again, 2 weeks in a row, you look at the stats, and FSU should have won the game by stats,
except for those two interceptions.
Two interceptions
and that fumble really kind of stifled some offensive. Drives and I think the fact, you know, one of the things that I just kind of felt as a watcher on the field was when we didn't score a touchdown
that first drive
and we had to settle for a field goal, took just a little bit of momentum out of what the offense then seemingly was kind of struggling to kind of get its footing back after that. And then, you know, it took
a full three quarters.
It did. And then I think was it the very next drive that Beck actually it was maybe not the very next drive but I'm trying to remember the sequence on our fumble our fumble ball. It was the first play from
scrimmage
long
went
pass.
Over the top.
Yeah,
yep.
I thought so.
Yep.
Yeah, so you know that's wow. You know within a matter of a minute, you know, that happens. So that's tough.
It is tough, you know, when you give up those type of big plays real quick.
Yeah.
So it I'm not going to say it dropped us, you know, emotionally, but it did take a lot.
It was tough.
Yeah.
And you know, back to their offensive line was blocking well.
Yeah.
And there were holes if you were looking at it from the end zone view. Their backs, although they didn't really get that many yards
only,
in the running.
They didn't even run for 100 yards.
They didn't run for 100 yards. But when
it was timely.
Yeah, it was timely, and there were big holes.
Yeah.
And when, you know, Beck had throwing lanes, generally speaking, too. But, yeah, again, you look at the stats. Even when we went to halftime, down 14-3, we led in stats in the first half, and it just – didn't feel like it, right?
No. It felt like the game was, you know, it felt like the game was out of reach on the scoreboard.
It did.
But like the stats showed a different story. Mm-hmm. And when you go back and you look at it, you know, we held them to under 100 yards rushing.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
340 yards or thereabouts total yards? 338,
338 total for them.
Yeah.
404 for us. Yep. You know,
of course, when we're used to getting 500, 600, 700 yards total offense over the last 3 weeks.
But 400 on Miami is excellent.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had 132 rushing on them. So we were able to control the ball. We just couldn't put it in the end zone.
Couldn't put it in the end zone.
They had 29 first downs.
They had 14, right?
Yes.
We ran 83 plays from scrimmage, they ran like 58,
59. Yes.
Yeah. Those two INTs were really
INTs
tough.
And the fumble.
That fumble
doing what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
But their defense was ball hawking like they should have.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I can't take anything away from it. They played the game the way they needed to play it. You know, you don't have to have all the yards. You don't have to have all the stats in order to win a game. You have to score timely. And they did, you know.
It was on the second interception. It was on that particular drive. I think it happened to Squirrel White twice. I think a prior pass attempt on that, it seemed like Squirrel kind of short-armed.
He did.
The possibility.
He was wide open, and he didn't realize it.
Yeah. And then on the INT, it appeared to me that he kind of lost where the ball was. There were two defenders around him in the end zone. Squirrel kind of turned and it was like the one DB
undercut him and got it.
So Squirrel just didn't. I think maybe he just lost the ball.
But it's possible. You know, the lights were bright.
The lights were bright. We were the center of the sports media world there for. And it's always, that's fun if you win.
Yeah, especially at home.
So, okay, you were watching the ABC's coverage. How did Herbie treat the FSU team in his analysis?
He stayed neutral as much as possible.
Okay.
He didn't bash like he normally would. He stayed neutral as possible.
Okay.
He stated the obvious that, you know, the Hurricanes were playing with a passion that they wanted to win, and Florida State looked like they were flat-footed. You know, like I said to you, it seemed like our secondary was running in sand.
Mm-hmm. And that's tough.
Yeah.
You know, that double overtime game probably took a lot of mental and emotional toll on the team. And
we came out flat.
You came out well. I mean, on the defensive side, when it came out flat.
Yeah.
Offensively, that first drive until it stalled was looking like okay. Hey, we came to play.
Yes.
Then we just kind of self destructed on some turnovers, the overturns.
Yes.
And we had some untimely false starts and stuff like that.
But relatively speaking, we only had 5 penalties in the game.
Yeah.
5. They had 14.
They really had 14 penalties?
They had 14 penalties for 114 yards.
They had 2 that were just over the top.
Yeah.
Though the helmet-to-helmet was so obvious.
Yes.
And then the Michael Irvin run over.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who the DB was, or maybe it was a linebacker. He just kept going. I mean, they were clearly like 2 yards off the sidelines and just kept driving him to the ground.
Yeah.
Bad move. But you know what? Were they already up 28-3 at that point?
Yes.
So see, they didn't, it felt like they, I know we mounted a comeback.
Yes.
It was too little too late and took too long to also.
That third score took too long.
Yeah.
Way too long.
Yeah.
And it was like,
now
we almost had a chance at that second onside kick.
Can I talk to speaking of onside kicks?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I've seen an attempt like that, the way that the ball was on the ground and the way he was kicking it, because it did not have the kind of bounce.
No.
Or, impossible to adjust to bounces that a typical onside kick that I've seen in college and pros before. Is that a new technique?
That was the first time I saw it. Normally, they want that second bounce to basically go up in the air.
Absolutely.
So that way they can.
You can plow into the.
Plow in.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's wide. He's fair game.
He's exactly right. But it was just. They just kind of like. All 3 of them just seemed to kind of scoot across the ground.
Yeah.
But we still almost got the second one.
The second one we almost got. Because it bounced back, and it bounced right back to one of our guys. If he would have just laid down.
Didn't lay down. He tried to pick it up. Is that what happened? Because I couldn't see. I didn't see the replay.
I don't think he realized it was actually coming to him. So when he did see it, it was like, oh. But if he would have just fell straight down to the ground, he would have landed right on top of the ball.
That could have been a game changer.
Hey. You know, I'm glad they were still number 25.
Yeah. If you drop out of the top 25 – kind of mid-season, and given what's happening and the way you just kind of never know who's going to win on any given Saturday now, you still have a chance to, at worst, maybe have a respectable season in the standings.
It's kind of hard to get into the New Year's Six games if you're not in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And
We got a lot of football still to play.
No, I guess we have to. I have to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And now you spell Norvell with 2 L's.
There you go. Oh, wow, that's right. Yeah, that's true. really?
Yes.
Yeah. he might want to make sure that nobody wants to call him Norvell after this week with Pittsburgh.
Right.
We've got to make sure, and I'm sure that's the would be the message for the coaches. Leave that game behind you.
Yes.
And that's the trouble. You can't get up every week. And I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Our bye week felt like too early in the season.
It was.
And not timely at all for us.
And we had a bye week after an easy game, and then we went right back into another easy game.
And then we had,
Virginia.
I guess when the schedule got laid out, no one would have thought Virginia was going to have a team this year, right?
When the schedule was laid out, nobody had anticipations of, one, us beating Alabama, except for, local people.
Yeah.
Everybody picked Alabama to, they actually reversed the score. They thought, we would score 17 and Alabama would put up over 30 points.
Yeah.
So, but... we come out, we beat the number 18.
There you go.
Like I said, in my opinion, I don't think we should have got ranked as high as we did, but we did, and then we kept climbing. And I don't think we should have kept climbing because the opponents that we were playing weren't climb worthy.
Absolutely. I think the fact was the way that that we won with such huge offensive numbers. You go into the Miami game still with the number one ranked offense.
Right.
And you know what? You kind of wonder where we, and that's probably something we ought to investigate, is how far down into the offensive rankings that we felt, unless you've done your homework.
No, I haven't done that.
Oh, that's
part.
Amazing.
I haven't
you surprised
done that
me
part.
With that. So Pittsburgh this week, what do we think?
I told you earlier that I thought that this would be a catch game for us.
The Pittsburgh
game would be a catch game because that's coming right after the Miami game.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a catch game for us. Hopefully it's not.
Pittsburgh's got a freshman quarterback, right?
Yeah, but they got a good offense.
Yeah.
They can put up a lot of points.
Yeah.
So our defense is going to have to shake off the past 2 weeks and get back to.
This is like if the community does not want the sound of Norvell needs to be thinking about packing his bags storyline. It's almost a must win.
Yeah. You don't want to go three in a row.
Yeah.
Not that it becomes habit, but it gets harder to shake.
It does. Well, just look at last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It gets harder to shake, and you don't want to have to face yourself in the locker room and be like, man, what started out so promising just collapsed.
So we have to, we're going to be pulling for Duke,
somewhat.
Tech, and maybe Cal,
We have to pull for Cal, SMU, Clemson. We need Clemson to win some games. They already got a couple of ACC losses.
Yeah, but then we need to beat Clemson too.
Yeah, but
But I'm thinking about on the Virginia side, we just need for Virginia to lose twice,
right?
To whoever it is, and their last game of the season is just like
we need Georgia Tech to lose a couple of times.
We it would be good for Tech to lose a couple of times. So, bottom line is though, all of those losses could potentially happen, but we got to win out,
right?
Yeah, we have. We've got to win out our
ACC conference
schedule, and then it'd be good to beat the Gators.
Oh, always good to beat the Gators.
Thanksgiving,
yeah.
And then, I'll tell you, we may not care for the Gators that much behind these two microphones. Although I've got friends who are Gators, and I've got family connections to UT. So that would have been a tough thing for either team to lose in that game. So I'm consoling my two brother-in-laws who live in Texas and both who graduated from UT. But I've got other great friends that are Gator alums. So
we have a Gator alum here.
We do. We've got a few Gators actually that are on the staff here that, I don't think we did a good enough background check
on
them before we did not vet them before they were hired. If we did, we just didn't do a good enough job.
Yeah.
So we had some college news, though, outside of the FSU campus right here in Tallahassee, right?
Yes. The SWAC.
SWAC.
Yes.
The SWAC.
They came down with the penalty for the comments that Joe Bullock made.
Yeah.
The university was fined $10,000, and Joe Bullock was suspended for 2 games from announcing. And, you know, some people might say that isn't enough.
Some would say it's too much, right?
Right. Because, you know, his comments were, he says, in jest, but you can't be, as I say, insensitive.
Yeah.
You know, you can't.
Yeah, what surprises me about that is that it would seem that it wouldn't be from the SWAC that would penalize Joe Bullard. It should be the school, right? I mean,
I agree.
I mean, that's odd that it would just, okay, maybe the SWAC leans into it to the school and says, listen, you really need to do something for discipline, and then that announcement comes from FAMU. But that was kind of weird that it came from the conference.
And one of the things I'll say on that is that, you know, usually your announcers travel with your team.
Okay, so now I understand. Okay,
you know,
he's the voice
of the Marching 100.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Now, see, I was thinking he would have just been the voice of Florida University for home games, but he's the voice of the Marching 100.
Correct.
Who does travel
quite
frequently, if not to every away game, right? Because they're the Marching 100.
They're the Marching 100.
And they may be some reason, in some cases, the reason that people come to the game
anyway,
right?
Absolutely.
Okay, now it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that.
No problem.
You know?
I try to stay on top of things.
The wise counsel from Sir Eric Carter. Yes, you know, this Mullins character over here on this microphone, he didn't know. It's make sure I open the door before I try to walk through it, kind of a mentality that you're working with here sometimes.
Hey,
and speaking about sometimes that you kind of wonder if somebody's smart enough to open the door before you walk through it, how about bull riding? Would you consider that as a profession?
PBR. Professional bull riding.
And it's coming to Tallahassee, Doak Campbell Stadium, right?
Doak, yes.
Oh, man. I've been to a lot of rodeos in my life, but I've never been to one in an outdoor football stadium.
That's going to be interesting.
That is.
In March.
March, great time for it.
Yes.
Except, you know, if you have those spring showers, that's not going to be so much fun.
Or a cold snap.
Or a cold, well, but you know,
This is Tallahassee.
This is Tallahassee.
And it has snowed. It has snowed.
I know, but I've also seen on television rodeos, you know, in Wyoming and in the northwest where it's, you know, Montana, cold stuff.
Yeah.
But bull riding, that is.
Not the bull riding at the bars.
No. No, and you know I've done the
mechanical bull,
and I may have told you this before. As a kid, one of my friends had, you know, the big spools that they use for like telephone lines and stuff, like the big the wooden spools.
Yeah.
We had them. They had them kind of tied up on two different like trees between them, and you would sit on it. You know, kind of wrap your legs around the center of the spool, and then your friends would kind of bounce around with the ropes, and so you really would go all around. Did that as a kid. That was a lot of fun, but that's not bull riding either. Yeah. The worst you could get with that was maybe a splinter off of the wooden spool. But, yeah, now tell me more about this, because you've done some research about what's coming to the Doak.
Yes, what comes to the Doak with PBR is there are going to be two rings that they're going to be doing the bull riding competitions simultaneously. So you're going to be able to watch two different rings at the same time.
So it's going to be pretty much nonstop bulls. Wow.
And then after the 2-day event, there's a concert each night.
Wow.
So
did they ask you, are you going to perform?
No.
Okay. And you're not a...
What about you?
Well, they haven't asked me yet, but, you know, it's still a possibility, I guess.
Hey.
You know, I can play the harmonica and the kazoo.
The kazoo.
Yeah.
What about the piccolo?
Nope, never a piccolo guy. I like pickles, if that's close.
Oh, hey.
Okay. But so a concert both nights, it's the 13th and 14th of March, you said?
That's correct.
I wonder when tickets go on sale.
Probably pretty soon.
Probably
pretty soon.
That's just
it's
fun.
It's going to be, it's another way to open up DOAC.
Yes, getting into the events world.
Yes.
And, that's great because I think if performers start thinking about Tallahassee as a place to come.
Yes.
Great for the hospitality industry in this community. They spend a lot of money on the DOAC upgrades, right?
They
want to make sure that they don't just let that stadium sit generally empty for.
They want to have 12 months mm-hmm. of activity.
Yeah.
And that works out good.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
More
to come.
And that's no bull, but I'm bump.
Ba-dum-bum-bum. Is
that a good way to transition to no more bull for the FSU ladies soccer team who
yes.
is continuing just to kick bull and kick butt?
They are kicking that ball around.
They are.
Yes. And you know me, I'm biased to women's sports.
Are you really?
I love women's sports, mm-hmm. especially the soccer, yep. the basketball, softball, beach volleyball. And volleyball.
Yeah.
So, I like our women's sports.
Our Taylor Cox, the operations and program manager at WFSU-FM, his daughter, Abby, is in playing high school, or I guess maybe junior high school and high school volleyball.
Yes.
And he's, I think, except for the traveling around to all these different counties, he lives in Gadsden County. He's got to travel all around. He's loving it. And I know his daughter's loving it. And we were just talking about going to an FSU game maybe this weekend or next. And man, the college ball is really intense.
Yes,
I'm sure it is in high school too. College ball is really intense in a small space like they've got here on campus at FSU.
You go to Tully because that's where they play their matches yeah. in mm-hmm. Tully. Tully is close.
It is.
It's intense. I've been.
Yeah.
And it's a good time.
Couple times too, yeah.
It's a good time.
Totally. And so that would be a great way to spend a weekend afternoon or whatever, whenever you, we encourage listeners to pay attention to the schedule
yes.
for the women's volleyball team and home games here at Tully. And I saw where our men's baseball team is going to have fall ball coming up here, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fall ball. We're looking for another successful season.
Yeah.
We had a good season last year.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get to as far as we wanted to, but hey, it was good.
And men's basketball, women's basketball coming just right around the corner, too.
Yep. The men's got a new coach.
Yep.
First time in a long time.
Yeah. Luke was at the football game. I saw him on the sideline.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
And the women, they're looking to continue that their normal dominance. So, yeah, I feel good about FSU sports.
Hey, and speaking of FSU sports, before we call it a day, Mr. Corso was in town.
Yes. He got his just desserts.
Yes, that was great.
It was beautiful.
I wasn't able to watch the football game on television, but I certainly hope ABC and Herbie treated Corso with the kind of respect and love that he deserved
yes,
from
did.
The ABC crowd, ESPN ABC crowd.
They did.
Yeah.
And I was very proud of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was, he's a legend.
Play at FSU, you're a legend.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And how about if you just work at FSU? Can we become legends too?
Maybe. We keep doing this podcast.
I'm a legend in my own mind.
Me too.
Yeah. Well,
I'll join you.
Yeah, okay. Well, and so we hope that, we've haven't wasted the last half hour or so of listeners' times. We had fun. I hope you had fun listening. And, pay attention to us next week. We'll be talking about a win over the Pittsburgh Panthers. What do you want to predict?
I don't know.
Just a win.
A W
with 450 yards total offense.
I want more close to 500.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll be talking to you next week on Tally Benchwarmers. Take care.